Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/zabe.
What's next? What's happening? What you gonna do? You got the money you owe us, motherfucker?
We're putting the band back together.
You were the backbone, the nerve center of a great rhythm and blues band. You can make that live, breathe, and jump again.
Well, me and the Lord, we got an understanding.
We're on a mission from God.
So what happens now? Is the food free or do we pay someone?
Of course not. They send you a bill.
We'll do it live.
No.
We'll do it live!
Fuck it!
They came to work every day, and there were no days off!
The show goes on!
Right now, in over us, it's looking good, and here we are in Washington.
All right, how was the bike ride, Andy? Let's start with that.
Bike ride was good. The weather is just about
fantastic,
perfect,
isn't it?
Yeah. We're gonna head towards hot and humid, but for now it's really nice.
Was this the first one of the year?
We had gone out a couple of weeks ago. I was out of town last week, so this is actually the second one of the year.
How many miles do you do?
Yeah.
Maybe 40.
40 miles? Jeez, I don't drive that much.
Well, it's a bicycle.
Is it exhausting or is it just energetic?
It's both. I really enjoy it, and there are some hills that are exhausting.
Okay.
But the majority of the ride is very pleasant and not that taxing.
Did you run into Louis Schreck walking down the
with his dogs?
Louis, that was so funny when that happened.
Louis moved to Ashburn. You know that,
really?
Right? Yeah.
And moved across the river to go work for Snyder and then got fired by Snyder.
Oh, he did?
Really?
I think
he's still working for him.
Really?
That's what I understand.
He wasn't part of the purge of 100 people.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think he's still there. Louis is a survivor. I think he's still there.
He's a cockroach.
He is.
You can't kill Louis. And I mean that with love.
Company man, of course.
Louis, if you're listening.
It's hard to be a cockroach. Most of us get stung.
Cockroach. All right. So why don't we start with the NFL draft? And let's start with the traditional airing of the host grievances. Your son, Jeremy, Andy,
retweeted your tweet about what is with ESPN forcing Greenberg down our throats.
Well, first of all, the reason he retweeted it and he tagged you was they both he and my daughter love it when you kill me on the podcast. So they were trying to get you stirred up to attack me for, and I'm not really attacking Greenberg for this because I think Greenberg did actually okay on
No,
this.
He didn't.
Well,
he tried too hard. He sold it too much. What a night here at the draft. So great to have fans back.
But he let the other guys talk, which is what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't understand why he can't do the third day. Is it that taxing? So they had Reese Davis do...
Berman never did. Yeah. I won't either.
Yeah, well, Berman was the fair-haired boy, which I never understood that either.
Don't you miss him, though?
No.
Come on.
No, I don't.
I miss him on the draft.
I don't. I do not.
I miss a lot of the old guys, well, even that I didn't like when they were in their position.
That's why they brought Primetime back with him and Tom Jackson on ESPN
Plus.
Plus, yes.
Yeah, do you subscribe to that?
We have it, but I watched like 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, it's highlights.
That's an unusual
thing. Oh, it's highlights.
They're trying to draw in a group of people who wouldn't normally do that. So these are old-time guys. So people who grew up watching them in the 80s would, I guess, subscribe. But I don't know how that's working out.
Okay. What else from the draft was notable? First of all, do you want to give the Wolfskins a grade, Andy?
No.
Come on.
These
no,
grades.
Do it.
These grades are stupid.
No, they're that's the way you do it.
Yeah. I've never heard of a single player they drafted A. That's what I like.
Yeah. Isn't that good, though? Doesn't
that's
it
great.
Mean that Dan
yeah.
is not with his fingers
yeah,
in the pie anymore?
I don't
anymore?
Think he knew Jamin Davis from Jammin' Davis.
Appears that way.
We jammin'.
I thought it was jammin'.
And when you started to see the two quarterbacks drop, Mac Jones went all the way to 15, I think the old Wolfskins would have jumped up and tried to get him. So the temptation, and I agree, because I don't think he's going to be a great pro. Fields, maybe. I don't know.
You didn't like that walk? That
yeah.
walk of Mac Jones?
By the way, have you seen a picture of him without a shirt on?
Oh, he looks like me.
Yeah.
He looks like Brady. Somebody said, no, seriously, there's a picture of him with a cigar in his mouth after one of the national championships, and somebody tweeted, well, Belichick does have a type, doesn't he? Because it looked just like Brady.
Brady didn't look that fat. Brady looked more doughy,
okay.
but this guy actually looked fat.
I love this.
Yeah, the walk is funny.
Some people put the walk of the Heath Ledger walking from the exploding hospital, like in Batman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's kind of funny.
Well, I mean, he was supposed to be in the number three pick, so he had to wait 12 picks to get his name called. He was anxious.
Doesn't Mac Jones's hips look a little bit too wide?
That's what I'm saying.
Dopey.
Really? That's what I'm
saying. This looks like a woman's pantsuit to me.
The last quarterback I rooted for had a dad body was Sonny Jurgensen, but he stopped playing 45 years ago.
Well, yeah. Belichick likes that. Belichick has the need for a man's ear at times, and maybe he likes guys who aren't Adonises. What's the point? It's football, not a bodybuilding contest.
If Mac Jones is good, God help us all.
Yeah.
Right? If they get it for another 15 years, God help us all.
And everybody puts Brady and Belichick together, but do you think that Belichick actually developed Brady? That's the question.
Well, can't separate out the egg from the yolk or whatever the saying is. We'll never fully know, although we do know Brady won the Super Bowl
first year one
without Belichick.
Him.
Scoreboard, Brady won,
exactly.
Belichick zero.
And he drafted other quarterbacks who didn't work out. Like Ryan Mallett wasn't a first-round pick but was fairly high.
Third round, I want to say.
Third round, okay.
Yeah.
So he didn't have – it wasn't like he had this great eye for quarterbacks and knew how to pick them. Garoppolo, maybe. But Garoppolo can't stay healthy, and they've already discarded him.
Stidham might not be able to play. We don't know. He hasn't gotten a chance.
Stidham. Did you like this kid, Quinn Miners, out of UW-Whitewater, whose training tape included such ridiculousness as knocking over dead trees like he's blocking them?
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. Good for him. He's projected as he can play in this league despite being D3. But it never hurts to have a marketing angle, a hook, you know?
Yeah,
this was a great hook, him working out during the pandemic at a cabin in Ontario.
He can get outdoor what's it called? Bass Pro or something.
Bass Pro? You think he's already a possible sponsor right there?
Sure, why not? It's an outdoors place.
This will be something we'll either laugh at a couple of years from now or say, I knew what he was doing.
These guys need to train and look good. Quarterbacks, who cares? If you can get the ball down the field, who cares what you look like? You don't have to look like Tiger to be a golfer.
Did you see the story that allegedly Matt Rhule's wife made one of the Panthers' picks? You didn't see that story.
No.
Do you remember who it was, Solly?
Chuba Hubbard, the running back.
Chuba Hubbard, the guy.
Oklahoma State.
That's a known player.
Yeah, Chuba Hubbard, he's Canadian, by the way. He was the guy that got up into Mike Gundy's face during the peak of the Black Lives Matter thing because Gundy dared to wear an OAN T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuba Hubbard is like, feel my power, feel my wrath. So they take him in Carolina. Do you really believe that they were on the fence and they let Matt Rhule's wife actually pick?
Well, the owner was there, too, and because he talked to Chuba also. And they had video and audio of the whole thing, which is odd because it seemed like a whole setup kind of thing.
Like a work, right? Probably. Like a work to say, look at how progressive we are. We let women pick players, right?
I doubt she's heard of most of the players on the board in the fourth round. Like, Chuba Hubbard. That's the only one I probably knew, too.
If Chuba Hubbard is a bust, then we're going to hear, well, look at that dope. He let his wife pick the player.
Oh, my God. Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah.
He better not be a bust now because she will definitely catch heat for that, for sure. Did you see the Quiddy Payne story?
I've heard the name. What's it? Refresh?
Quiddy Payne's mom, they like emigrated from war-torn Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
She worked a million jobs, got him into college, played football, graduated with great grades, and now he's going to be able to buy her house because he was a highly drafted pick.
Boy.
You got to love those stories, don't you?
Tom Rinaldi 3-0 fastball, is it not?
Well, the Najee Harris had his draft celebration at the homeless shelter he had to live in. Yeah. As he grew up.
There was that as well.
They all make for good stories, I guess.
Here's something from back in the day, Andy. This is when one Daryl Green
was picked. Yep, 28.
Was picked. And I'd never heard this audio before, but Daryl himself tweeted about it and joked, like, good thing I'm not shy about talking about myself, or like, good thing I don't like confidence, because they treated Daryl Green as a complete afterthought on the broadcast here, and they just wanted to talk about Dan Marino sliding down the board that year.
Right.
And that was 83,
and
right?
That's the last year that they didn't have Mel Kiper on the broadcast, and this is part of the reason.
He has the card on the Redskins selection in the first round. And Unitas.
Standard def.
The Super Bowl champion Washington Redskins.
Good old standard def. Yeah. It's so aged and warbly and everything.
Complete the first round with their choice of cornerback Daryl Green, Texas A&I.
By the way, is that a little bit of a gasp, surprised in the crowded ballroom, the small venue that it used to be? Who's that?
A&I. Thanks, Bobby. Leading off the second round, Baltimore Colts.
Baltimore Colts, yeah. A small school.
The old curved feather
now,
for 1 year. Here we go.
Before we wrap up the Marino situation, I think you have to point out, and after covering him for 4 years, the fact that...
Who are these chumps,
Dr. Z, who wasn't
your
a
buddy.
College guy, and Howard...
In the middle.
Howard Balzer.
Howard Balzer over here.
Yeah.
Sporting News, who you did a radio show, and he used to have Mel on as a guest all the time. So he was into the draft, and that's George Grand, who I guess disappeared shortly after that.
The people that play with him, the people that work with him, have a great deal of respect for him, and he is a competitor, and he's the kind of young man who you feel is going to make the best shot that he can out of what he has. Maybe he should have taken the USFL offer that he had, as it turns out.
Well, it'll be interesting to see now the contract negotiations, not only with Marino, with Miami, but with all the first round picks. So it's going to be something to follow as well.
Anybody interested in Daryl Green? Bobby Bethard was hoping he'd be around. Says he's one of the two sleepers in the whole draft. I won't tell you the other one because, you know, it was a confidence.
Okay, stop.
Dr. Z had that then.
Okay, stop. Do you really think that GMs like Bethard were telling reporters, here's my two sleepers, but keep it to yourself?
He might.
Before
because
the internet? Who knows?
Do you think they're doing that now?
No, but
no fucking way,
but
right?
Bethard was big on off-the-record things, and there was an incident with Christine Brennan when she was covering the team.
Uh-oh.
Where something was said that Bethard thought was off the record and she thought was on the record.
Uh-oh.
And that created a problem. Now, here's the thing on Green. I was working in Dallas at the time, and Gil Brandt came out after the first round. It was over. and they had taken – they had gone only a pick earlier, and they had taken Jim Jeffcoat, who is a defensive end from Arizona, I think. And they had two good corners. They had Michael Downs, and they had who was the
Everson
other one?
Walls.
Everson Walls was the other one, So they didn't need a corner. And Gil Brandt said, the Redskins just picked Darryl Green. Everything we fed into the computer made him the number one prospect in the draft.
Really?
The computer, like NASA, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it was the end of the first round. It wasn't like he was a 12th rounder back when they had 12 rounds.
Well, they didn't televise after that.
I guess not. Greenberg didn't do those ones.
No.
Texas A&I, it doesn't exist anymore.
No, it
right?
does. It's Texas A&M Kingsville, I think.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, it
and what division did they play?
They were Division
D1. D1?
Yeah, it was
what
like
league?
A mid-major.
The SWAC.
Yeah, something like
something
that.
Something like that,
yeah,
okay.
Something.
The Pac-6 was back then.
It was, I guess, what would they consider 1AA? So like what James Madison is now. That
kind of, Here's the comment, though, that I just thought, wow, they wouldn't dare say this today because it would be deemed insensitive. Listen to Dr. Z saying why Darryl Green might be a bit of a reach even in the first round.
Sleepers in the whole draft. I won't tell you the other one because, you know, it was a confidence, but he said people are turned off because he's a little shrimp. 5'7.5", 5'8".
Whoa. They're turned off because he's a little shrimp? Did you hear that?
Because he's a little shrimp.
Little shrimp? You know, today the internet will be like, he short-shamed that player. You can't use shrimp. You have to use vertically challenged.
But he said people are turned off because he's a little shrimp. 5'7.5", 5'8". But I think they're projecting him to that hot corner, the left corner of the white corner.
And Bobby Bethard, he's one of those guys. He has a feeling about a player, and very rarely is he...
So that was from back in the day. The draft did great television numbers. It beat the shit out of the Oscars, which is no surprise given how low they've sunk. But basically for 3 days, they were the number one story and not a game was played.
They did better than I think all but one of the World Series games.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And you know the number is going to be better than some of the NBA games.
Oh, yeah.
NBA Finals games, no matter who's in it.
It's football, for God's sake.
I know it is football.
And it's something all of us watch because we're like, ooh, who did our team get? At least a little bit. Every football fan tunes in for some part of the draft, don't they? Or at least look up.
It's on all the time.
Some of it.
Because you have your exciting college players you like and then the pro teams you like, and it's the merging of the two, and it's great for arguments. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Sports radio lives on arguments. That guy sucks. He's going to be great.
Well,
no, you're wrong.
They took the younger McShay and they paired him with Mel, and it's a great combination. They go at each other, and it's good spirited. It works great.
Didn't they almost run Mel out 1 year?
Yes.
I seem to remember he was on the brink.
He was Mark Shapiro, who later worked for Dan Snyder.
Says all you need to know.
And directly impacted the reason that we're doing this as a podcast now instead of a radio show.
Right.
His take was pretty much, who's Mel Kiper? And from what I understand, there were a number of people at ESPN
who had to explain to him,
including Tony Kornheiser, who called him up and said, what the F are you doing?
No way.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, this guy's a big asset to the network.
Oh, yeah. I got a call from Mel telling me it was over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
well, there's no room for two draft people?
Well, this was before.
Andy, let me tell you, I'm your friend, but it's over. Okay, I'm out. Okay, it's Todd's just job now. Todd.
Yeah, so you're doing an imitation of Caliendo doing an imitation.
Bad Xerox of a bad Xerox.
Yeah,
I get
it. Yeah.
So, by the way, for the record, so he survived anyway. Yeah. But for the record, Darryl Green says in his tweet, I was 5'8¾", not 5'7".
Yeah. Well, I've looked him in the eyes. He's about my height. I'm 5'9".
Yeah. Unbelievable. Had played 20 years at corner in the NFL.
He was unbelievable. And according to Richie Pettibone, if Jarris White hadn't held out, Darryl Green would have been the greatest punt returner in the history of the NFL.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Because they were going to play him there because he would have been like the nickel corner.
Right.
And he would have been unbelievable.
Well, the punt return against the Bears was the greatest punt return in Redskin history, right?
I would think so.
I mean, and he could have probably done that. He had such amazing speed.
Well, once he had a hole, he was gone. I mean, he was Devin Hester if he wanted to be.
Yes, exactly. And, of course, this was the what year was this?
87, I think, 88.
88 playoffs in Soldier Field on that awful carpet. I mean, look at that. Look at how hard it looks just on television.
It's an odd green.
Man. Yeah, exactly. And he pulled a rib muscle hurdling a guy returning that punt.
Against the wind out of his own end zone.
Tommy Barnhart.
Yep.
Number 17.
There's Ron Rivera on the right side lining up the block. 59? 59, yeah.
Wow, how about that, huh?
He hurdles Cap Boso. What's this?
Burst, cut, boom. Hurdle, and another cut. Hold the ribs. Look out!
Could be all over.
Now,
that is all over. Pat Summerall.
That ended the game for him. He wasn't going to play the following week. And
which was the NFC Championship.
Exactly, game. Against the Vikings. And Richie Pettibone called him up and said, you need to take the shot. And he said, I'm not taking the shot.
Take the needle.
And he finally was convinced to take the needle. He wound up making the game-saving play, knocking
really?
The ball away from Darren Nelson at the end
oh
of the game.
Oh, my That's God, right. I can't yeah. believe that.
And he said, you know, basically the shot wore off about the second quarter. So he was playing in pain the rest of the way.
I got to see that final play here because it was so good. 87 championship. All Joe Jackson Gibbs literally on his knees
yep.
in prayer to make sure they held on at the goal line. All right, where is it? It's got to be
it's
here.
Right at the end. End. Yeah.
Okay, here
Wade
it is.
Wilson, yep. And Jerry Burns, the coach.
The Super Bowl.
Here's the call on fourth down and four for the Redskins.
Fourth and four. Wade Wilson.
To the right. Back to throw. Wade Wilson, look. Throws under coverage. Ball down close. Darren Nelson hit it.
Truth be told, Darren Nelson dropped that.
Yeah, but look where Darryl Green is. I don't think he would have let him get in the end zone because he was coming.
I don't know, Andy. Mm. I mean, Darryl Green was not a thumper, obviously.
No, but he was
a little shrimp.
He had the angle there to knock him out of the.
All right, this is where I'm going to ask Church, my longtime Viking fan, whether or not up there they say Darren Nelson would have been in. Because
yeah.
they might say, look at Darren Nelson's literally standing on the white chalk
if
goal.
If only
line.
They had replay back then to fix the egregious call.
Fuck yeah.
See, Darryl's got him wrapped up before he's in the end zone.
If he had caught it. Clean.
Yeah.
Darryl's got him wrapped, but does he have the drive to keep him out? And this receiver might have scraped Darryl off a bit.
Well, there's Monty Coleman closing in, too. He had good speed.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Ball was out. That's it. Redskins. And it would have only tied the game.
Right.
Because it was 17-10. So something else to think about. Okay. Anything else on the draft before we move on?
No, I think the draft is – they've got it down. I think they've got it figured out,
yeah,
which
but
is
they're
one
adding
of the
all this chutzpah.
Yeah.
Chazarai.
Sorry, chutzpah. They are adding all this Chazarai.
Goodell's chair.
The fucking chair.
Well, it's, you know, and the Goodell fist bumps and the hugs and
– Come on. Bring it in.
Guys
hey.
He's going to have to discipline later. Disgusting.
Am I the only guy that resents the fact that Goodell just blows out of town after the first round and lets his administrative assistant do night two?
Wow.
They had some secretary announcing the picks.
Really?
This is a big moment for these kids. You can't get somebody else up there. I'm not saying you can't have a woman, but she was like literally administrative assistant.
Well, the NBA only does two rounds, and Adam
they used
Silver
to make, they used to make Russ Granick do the
yeah,
second round when David Stern was doing it.
Silver only does round one. I think it's a special thing for early round picks to have the commissioner do it.
Well, yeah, but if you're a second or third round pick, you shouldn't have the secretary announcing your name. Now they had some celebrity
yeah.
pickers in there, but it wasn't every one though.
Oh, by the way, did you see the Mike Golic entrance?
No.
Oh yeah, Greenberg doing it. This was round two or three.
The lesser Mike of Mike and Mike, my former partner for 17 years. There he is.
He didn't make any reference to the fact that they had worked together. He said, if you've listened to ESPN, you know this guy. He also called him an Eagles legend, which I think is really a reach. But there was no reference to this was my partner for 16, 18 years,
wow.
whatever
so
it was.
There's still bitterness.
So frigid, huh?
Yeah,
in
well,
other words.
Wow.
Well, Golic is the one that was more frigid to Greenberg because he thinks Greenberg, you know, weaseled away from him.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
He left the show.
by making a deal for himself and not including him. But, you know, that's.
He wanted out of radio and being a TV guy.
Yeah. I believe he mispronounced the pick as Devontae Davis, not Devontae Smith.
Oh, did he?
Ooh. That's what this here says. One more thing on the draft. Did you
terrible.
Guys see the Eagles war room dust up?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about that. Eagles war room, you've got Howie Roseman, who was in the old regime under Chip Kelly, mm-hmm. then demoted but not fired, and he's come back up now to have the juice and the power again. So he's either got photos of Jeffrey Lurie or they really like him.
Mm-hmm.
But they brought in this longtime personnel vet, Tom Donahoe. And Donahoe, after Lurie or after Roseman made the pick, starts fist bumping and everything, all the guys in the room. And he goes over to Donahoe, and this is on camera, Solly. And Donahoe's like, yeah, fine. he totally shines him.
All these handshakes in the draft war room, it seems so forced. Like, oh, we're on camera. We better shake hands.
Do you remember the
high five?
The famous one where the Jimmy Johnson was doing the draft, and Jerry Jones said, the ESPN cameras are on us. Make it seem like you're consulting with me before each pick. And Jimmy didn't go with that one.
Oh, there they
all right,
are.
Here they are. Look at all the fist pumps, and here he goes all the way over to
Donovan.
Yeah,
that's so forced. Look at him. That's great.
And Roseman's like, "What?
Yeah,
you don't like this guy?" Donahoe's just walking off on his own.
You know, Donahoe worked for before, don't you? Maybe the best drafting franchise in the history of the NFL, Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's right.
So he's probably looking at this and thinking, you know.
What a dick move, though, seriously. Yeah, it's like either you're on the team or not. Come on, man.
He's probably looked at him and goes, you know, I work with Chuck Knoll. And you?
You little pisser, who are you?
First of all, get a real first name, Howie. You know?
All right, let me ask you guys about the Aaron Rodgers situation.
Oy.
As complete outsiders and as guys who have watched here us struggle to find a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
every other team in the league is always like, we got to get the next guy. The Packers have had the guy for two straight regimes, 30 years. 30 years of quarterbacking peace
mm-hmm.
from Favre to Rodgers. And now it's on the brink.
Right.
What do you make of it? Do you think Rodgers is for sure not wanting to come back?
I believe this latest one where he wants the general manager fired, Gutekunst, I think that's what this is all about. And I think he waited a year for his revenge because Gutekunst is one who took Love in the first round last year and moved up to do it and didn't tell him.
I'll wait till draft day 2021.
Yeah, so
I'll get him.
Well, because he knew.
Hey, Schefter, here's a story that'll mess your whole draft coverage for the day.
Right.
Yeah.
I want out.
I'm not coming out.
What
and you know what? And they're kissing his ass. Now they're putting out statements.
Well, Mark, we love him. We want him here for the full future, Mark Murphy says. We love this guy.
Have you read some of the statements? Have you heard? Now they're puckering up.
Uh-huh.
I've been screaming this on 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee for a long time. I'm like, if you're in the Rodgers business, be in the business and kiss his ass a little bit.
He's getting old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're getting old, huh?
We're all getting old.
Not in this day and age.
He thinks he'll be Brady and doing this in 5 years?
Yeah.
He's a low mileage 37.
Because I know. He
waited. Didn't play for 3 years.
Didn't play for 3 years. That's low mileage.
He's gotten his chest crunched twice and been out. He's played 250 games.
He's had a concussion or two, but still. So if they were to fire Gutekunst, that'd be pretty unprecedented, wouldn't it? Can you remember a time, Andy, in which a player got an executive fired out of spite?
No. I know coaches, but probably not one that comes to mind. But, yeah, I mean, and is he a good GM? I don't know. You're closer to that.
I think he is, but I think he made a fatal mistake.
Yeah.
He came after the king and missed.
Right.
You better cut his head off.
You better fucking get the king, right?
Get him.
He went after the king and Rodgers said, are you fucking kidding me? A quarterback? We went to the NFC title game. We're on the brink of the Super Bowl. We need another wide receiver, and you fucking do this because you think I'm about out of gas?
Yeah.
Fuck you to the moon. Watch this. MVP season. Yeah. Now, what are you going to fire that dummy with the weird name?
Right.
That's a bold move. It's not going to sit very well, I think, though, with a lot of fans. You'd be shocked at the anti-Rodgers sentiment.
Really?
He rubs
in
people
Milwaukee.
Kind of the wrong way.
Yeah, but he wins games. He's one of a handful of guys.
Ding! Ding!
You can't get another one like this.
Thank you, Andy.
It's a one of a kind.
I know. They had him for 15 years.
I know.
16 years, and it was great.
And his deal is not really like the what happened with Favre. He fell down the draft board so low that Green Bay just said, well, I mean, we don't really need a quarterback, but we can't pass this guy up at 24.
It's the very situation. Like
it's not,
it
though.
Is.
No, it's different, though, because Love, they moved up to get him.
True.
Big deal. Move up. People move up all the time, but they got a plan for
the
future.
They moved down first, and then they moved back up.
But so the point is, they said, we got to get this guy when Rodgers still can play.
And I'm sure Favre was pissed off when they drafted him. Like, I'm not that old. He's younger than Rodgers was when he started, wasn't he?
I love this tweet. Aaron Rodgers was at the Derby over the weekend. And he kind of had a look to him with sunglasses, yeah, long hair, slick back. Brady showed up as well. Brady and his boys are always there. Brady's got this big weird hat. And the tweet is, Aaron Rodgers looks like he's at the Derby to arrest Tom Brady. He's staring out over the railing like, where is that guy? I got to go get him.
Or you could go the other way on that, because Brady's sort of dressed like a G-man from the 30s, you know?
Yes.
The ones who hunted down Bonnie and Clyde.
So NBC tried to get him on camera, get him to say something. He declined. Mike Tirico said Rodgers told him that Rodgers was, quote, disappointed that news has come out of this rift with the Packers.
He released the news. What do you mean disappointed?
He's just playing it exactly the way it needs to be played. He's
right.
Not stupid.
Right. He's like, I'm sorry this came out. This was not. This was between me and the family. This hard, dirty laundry was not to be aired.
Shailene put him up to all this, probably.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up Shailene, Solly, because people are already starting to saw Mike Freeman push back.
Yoko Woodley there?
Yeah. Mike Freeman, who covers the NFL, was, you know, earning his woke brownie points by saying, don't you dare bring up his fiance. That is so retro. That's not right, blah, blah, blah. I say, you can bring it up as long as you recognize that he's in love with her. They're going to get married.
We'll see.
And she she has
quick engagement.
She has influence on his life.
But she said she doesn't.
There's nothing wrong with a woman having influence.
She doesn't know anything about football. She claims she didn't know what he did when she met him.
She doesn't give a shit about football. And that's part of the factor into this. I think she's one of these types that's telling Aaron, you can do. You're so smart. You're handsome. You're good.
You can do anything. Host if you want.
Yeah. You can do anything you want. In other words, what she has done is fed into Rodgers' thought process of football is this big of my life, not all of my life.
Right.
You know.
Or she's saying to him, get everything you want, or get out and do something else.
Right.
Don't compromise for these people.
Or these fucking rubes up there in the cornfields, they don't appreciate you. She could be feeding that to him. And while some would say that's wrong of her, she shouldn't do that, others would say, you know what? She ain't wrong. She's right. You could argue that she sees what he can't see, or what we in the sports industrial complex don't want to consider, that the Packers aren't smart enough to value him.
Right. And she's also, I don't know what she earns per film.
A lot.
But she's looking at what he makes, which is a lot. And maybe she's saying, if I'm as big a star as you are in the movies, I make four times that much.
Right.
Okay. So maybe that's part of the thinking there too.
She's 29 years old. Her net worth is only $12 million.
Okay.
And she apparently makes $40,000 per episode for the show The Fault in Our Stars.
Never heard.
That was a movie she was in.
Oh, that was a movie. Okay. I don't know what show. First of all, I don't think she's hot.
Well,
I don't either.
You don't either? I don't think she's hot, number one. And I mean,
he's gone from Olivia Munn, who was all right, to Danica.
Yeah. But look, he's happy. He's in love.
I guess.
Mazel, good thing.
It won't last.
But, I won't judge.
But I mean, so, he thinks he'll be the Jeopardy host, which I can't believe that they want him. Oh, he's Aaron Rodgers. We got to get him. They've tried out. I mean, Joe Buck is auditioning.
I know.
Ratings are good.
All sorts of great people.
I could see him doing it when he's playing, too, right? He could fly and do episodes on Tuesday.
Oh, you batch record them.
Yeah.
You just
like
pile them up.
Sajak lives here. He goes out like 3 days a month to record.
Yeah. So do you think he'll be a Packer this fall?
No.
So where is he going? Denver, right? That's the only landing spot. They didn't take a quarterback when they could have.
Right. This is the Elway move.
Elway, right. Elway's like, Aaron, I suck at picking quarterbacks. The only one I picked was Manning, and that was a no-brainer. I need to pick you so I'm not a complete disaster as a GM.
But also, you can't go to any other team and have a face-to-face meeting with the president of the team and be able to speak the same language. Like, you and I, we're the same guy.
Okay.
So anything you say to me, I'm going to understand. If you talk to, you know, even Robert Kraft, he's not going to get it.
Hypothetical price, 3 ones and Von Miller.
3 ones.
Hypothetical price, 3 ones and Von Miller.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah.
Well, you need Von Miller to balance out the salaries.
Yeah.
But then three number ones, I don't think is out of the realm of possibility.
They were talking about cutting Von Miller, too. And Miller's coming off an injury. He didn't play
well,
at all last year.
Maybe he's not the guy to throw in there. I haven't really workshopped trades because, honestly, I don't even want to think about it. Like, I'm sick to my stomach because I've been the number one Rodgers stan, and I was looking forward to at least a good two or three more years of him kicking ass. And I think Jordan Love's probably going to suck. Because the chances are you're not going to get three aces in a row.
I agree.
Well, he didn't even play this year. He wasn't even dressed. He was their third.
That'll help him.
Exactly.
Any guy who doesn't play is helped in his first couple of years, though.
That's what did our great friend Larry Weissman say once about the Redskins' backup?
Todd Collins.
Todd Collins. He said, as long as you don't have to play him.
He's a great backup.
He's a great backup. As long as you don't have to play
him. Well, they did play him, though, and he actually played pretty well.
I know he did. I just love the phrasing of it. Yeah. It makes no sense, but it does make perfect
sense. The Broncos were smart. Did you see the deal they did with Sertan when picking him? They didn't go to the Senior Bowl. They didn't go to his pro day. They didn't talk to Patrick Sertan at all. No one had a mock draft of the Broncos taking him at 9.
Huh.
And it was it wasn't Elway. It was their other personnel guys. Like, yeah, we didn't want to leak that we were interested in. We didn't want anyone moving up to get him.
Right.
So they didn't even talk to anyone related to him. Like, well, we see him on tape. Looks
what
great.
What do you think of that strategy?
That's smart. It worked. No one jumped up to take him. The Cowboys wanted him there at 10, but they thought he was gone, which is why they were fine to move back.
I think that strategy is strange. You want people to think you're interested, so they'll offer you the moon to try and get him.
No, because the Cowboys may jump ahead of you.
Right. If they're like, oh, they want him? That's the guy we want. But trade up to 8. We'll take him.
You think see, they're that stupid, though? They don't know who to pick, and they base it on how much another team likes him? I don't know.
Well,
he's the guy they wanted, and they got him. And
I think that's actually a brilliant strategy for guys in the first half of the first round, because what are you going to fucking learn about the guy that's going to make it or break it? You know him from his talent level, from what's on tape. You can sniff around at the edges. Has he robbed a bank?
Yeah.
Is he a shithead?
Even if he has, we'll take him.
Right. If you're remember Scott McLuhan, your DNA is your tape.
Yeah, but I think that's smart, Solly, because they were a complete stealth bomber on that one.
No one had him there as a pick.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At MyBookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to MyBookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny-come-latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at MyBookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with MyBookie.ag.
All right, let's talk NBA for a second because this is a big NBA podcast. Looks around nervously. Did you see the Indiana-Oklahoma City game on Saturday night? At one point, Indiana was up by 67
Get
points.
Out of here. Right. Wow.
67.
Quick, name someone on Indiana or Oklahoma City.
Exactly.
I don't know if I can.
Oklahoma City is like 21-42. They're a complete write-off this year. They've got basically nobody. It was at OKC where, if you read the box score, it says no fans in attendance. They said before the year, we're not even bringing anyone back.
Because
they knew they had
anyway.
A shit team, and they weren't gonna. It wasn't going to be worth it to turn on the lights or to open the popcorn stands. So nobody was there to see it. And at home, they got beat by 67.
Wow.
I think there's something.
Or no, I'm sorry. They got beat by 152-95, so 62.
Yeah, it was on its way to being the biggest blowout ever. I think there's a culture.
Is my math right on that? No, it's
no,
not
who
right.
cares? The culture
57, thank you, Sal.
The culture of quitting is infecting the NBA.
Oh, it's terrible.
And when you have these load management things where you know you're not going to play certain guys. Look what's happening with Brooklyn. You think all these injuries are legit? No, they're just taking turns playing until they get to the playoffs.
Mason Plumlee got rested for rest. Mason Plumlee.
Yeah. Mason Plumlee. Detroit. When you're load managing Mason Plumlee.
Everyone gets load managed. If you're a starter, even on the crappy teams, and no one even knows who you are, you get load managed. Because why not? What do you care?
So does a score like that hurt the NBA? Or at this point, is it like you've already been out in the rain without an umbrella, you're soaking
you're
wet, it doesn't fucking matter?
Yeah,
probably.
You think it doesn't matter?
No. If you're like the NBA, you accept that as the cost of doing business.
What horseshit, though. Like, talk about not trying. Yeah. No professional team should be down 67 at home, even without fans, because Indiana's not even 500 themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Trotters they were playing. It was the fucking bad team.
This is the league that added playoff teams. They have 20 this year.
That's quitting.
20 playoff teams. The so Wizards are hot. They still got a losing record, but they're going to make the playoffs now because they've
And if you're the coach of the team is getting blown out, there's two ways to do this. You can say to your starters, well, you're not going to try. I'm just going to leave you out there tonight because you don't want to be out there. I'm going to make you go. Or you say to them, well, I got, you know, eight guys on the bench here who are going to play harder than you, so I'm just going to play them.
Yeah,
can't take a knee in basketball or put out an infielder to pitch.
Steve Kerr said recently, because Golden State got out-rebounded by like 30, like 54 to 28. He's like, you know, the fundamentals in this league, he said, I've never seen them this bad. He said, nobody boxes out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They see a shot go up and they just think, oh, I'm going to go and get the rebound. And their man runs by him and grabs it.
Yeah. Well, look at what Russell Westbrook is doing is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, and people were talking at the beginning of the season, they made a terrible trade. This is turning out to be one of the greatest trades in the history of the franchise.
Wall is hurt again, sitting out the rest
of
the
season. Yeah.
He's out of the league in 2 years.
Probably.
He's done.
Wall.
Yeah, well, because he's been hurt all the time, and you know, he doesn't.
Makes $41 million a year.
Yeah, as soon as that's up, he's done.
It's ridiculous.
And Westbrook.
He might be done before it's up.
Yeah, I guess might,
there have been NBA players who have collected their full check not playing.
Steve Francis. Steve Francis, I think 2 years after he left the league, was like the third highest paid player.
Yeah.
So, but with Westbrook, double-digit rebounds every night.
Yeah, because nobody blocks out.
Yeah.
And he's super springy and quick and loves playing basketball.
Right.
That's all he loves.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get caught up in the drama.
No.
He's the most grounded superstar, I think, in the league. That's why I like him.
Yeah.
It's just
like
no
him.
Bullshit with him, you
right.
know?
He's four away from Oscar's triple-double number.
People have
like
been ripping him all year. I don't get it. You know, he's terrific.
And yet, despite the Wizards having won 10 of 12 and like 13 of 15, they're still in the 10 spot
they're
in
right
the
there.
East.
They dug themselves such a hole.
I know. Yeah. I know. Are you excited about the Wiz for the first time in
the
years
Wiz
and years
are.
And years?
I think, you know, look, I think in their first round series, which looks like they play Indiana right now. So,
I'm talking about next year.
Oh, next year?
Assuming they don't dig themselves a hole. Now that Beal and Westbrook have gotten their mojo together.
Okay, I don't know how the cap works. Seems like you can do anything you want with the cap. If there's a player who looks at that backcourt and says, I'm the third guy, do you think he comes here?
Depends
don't
who
know.
Else has
We've never had that.
Situation.
We've never had the third guy to say, I want to come here.
No, never.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what you need. Another thing, the Spurs blew a 77-48 halftime lead. And allowed Jason Tatum for the Celtics to go off for 60, and they lost in overtime.
Right.
That's also horseshit. Yeah. You're up 29 at half, and then you lose letting one dude score 60. That's not trying.
And that's Popovich, right? Popovich, the great Popovich, let that happen?
I guess so. Fuck him, though. I'm so done with Popovich. Speaking of so done with, I want you guys to think while I tell this story.
Okay.
What former great brand, restaurant, store, thing, activity, place that you once loved has so jumped the shark, has so fallen to a state of, oh my God, this place is so bad right now, it hurts your heart. Because I got to say, Andy, I have gone to P.F. Chang for the last time.
Good thing you gave away that gift card to Andy last week.
No, I didn't get to. Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, maybe you gave Scott the PF Chang.
Yeah.
Here's the story of the gift card, Solly. It was sitting there like an orphan on my desk at home. And young Catherine always loves Chinese food. So I thought, hey, it's a Saturday excursion. My first thought was I'll go to Dulles Town Center to the PF Chang. Oh, wait a minute. That's closed. Mm-hmm. So that's gone down. We used to have a Payway, which was like the miniature son of PF Chang's, the quick service version of it. That closed in Leesburg. I don't know why. I love that place. But I've always loved PF Chang's. You know that. The one that's right down the street here in Rockville Pike.
Gone.
Gone. Okay. Yeah. That too.
It was part of White Flint. White Flint's gone.
Yeah. So they had the PF Chang's at Tyson's Galleria, and we went to go, and it was a miserable experience all around. The service was slow. The recipes have changed. The food was not nearly as good. And then I go to use the card, Solly, and the guy says, oh, I'm sorry, sir, but we lost power yesterday, and the system is not taking gift cards ever since we lost power.
Really?
I said, bro, I drove 30 minutes out of my way to use this card today, and he's like, sorry, I can't do anything about it. So P.F. Chang's done, and it used to sit, Andy, in the pantheon of my Chinese food enjoyment. You would always kind of deride it as overly expensive.
You know my theory on Chinese food.
What's your theory?
Chinese food tastes like Chinese food. and if
hold on, let me write that down.
If you package it was a nice restaurant. I mean, it was a very nice restaurant to go to, and it had certain things that Chinese places don't necessarily have, like lettuce wraps, which you don't eat anyway.
Of course, right?
So to me, if I'm going to eat Chinese food, I'm just going to eat Chinese food at a Chinese restaurant, not in a fancy chain place like P.F. Chang's.
But I thought it was unique because every place I've ever ordered for, it's pretty much the same. The food's the same. Yeah. The menus are almost exactly the same. You can replace China Cafe with,
General Tso's chicken, orange peel beef.
The same appetizers, the same soups,
all
the same meals. And they all taste
basically
the same. You know, it. I think it's different with that with other foods. You know,
P.F. Chang's incorporated, Solly, a little Korean,
right,
and a little bit,
and it was higher end food. The few times I ate there, it was a little different. And there's a place in Rockville. I forget what it's called, but it's a sit down place. And it's like that, too. It's a little bit better. It's more expensive, so it better be better. But it was a little different. I thought P.F. Chang's was like that as well.
It's a goddamn tragedy. I am so hurt by this. So,
next, you're going to hate golf. You're like, golf. Yeah.
And you're limited, too. You don't eat vegetables, and vegetables are a big part of Chinese. So,
well, I can work around it. I have my whole life. Yeah. I know how to say blah, 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 no veggies.
Yeah, right.
Blah, 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 can you no
take,
veggies.
Can you take veggies out of a Chinese dish?
Yeah, but
you can pluck them out. Eat
around them. Yeah.
But most Chinese places know how to do no veggies,
right?
Including the Thai place. Now, the Thai place in town is now our new go-to. It's Fin Thai. They've got these egg noodles with the teriyaki chicken. Me and my daughter love the same thing. It's great. So, question: is there something that has slipped for you guys? A brand, a place, a thing, a product, a restaurant where you're just like, man, it's so sad. They used to be something. Now it's no good. Just think about it. I'll solicit listeners to tell me. Listeners out there, as you're listening to this, what has fallen in your eyes to a level that hurts your heart?
Well, to me, I think the last time I went bowling, I'm like, this used to be more fun. Now my wrist hurts. You know, we were out $40 and my wrist
hurts.
Doesn't
that apply to everything in life, though, Solly?
I guess.
Didn't everything used to be more fun?
I suppose. Usually it is. It's like a movie you saw as a kid, and you're like, see it again. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, the
that
movie.
That was funny, I guess, when I was 12.
Porky's, I was laughing when I was a kid. Not so much now.
I've been to the movies in over a year. I used to like to get popcorn, but the popcorn's so expensive, it just seems like it's just not worth it.
So expensive for such shit.
Yeah.
It is such a low-grade food.
Well, the whole movie experience. I mean, you're out $40 a person if you go to a movie, right? For the ticket, the food. It's insane.
It's a shame. I
love to love the movies, right?
I do, and I'm going to go back when there's actually something fun to watch in it, but it's going to take till deep in the summer, I think, for that to happen.
You said you went to something, and you and your daughter were the only ones in there.
Yeah.
Right?
What'd you see?
It was some kids' movie. The only thing that's been dribbling out is the animated kids movies and shit movies that have been stuck and buried in the can. Mm. And the studios are like, what are we doing with this thing? We know it sucks. We've already spent to do it. We've got the final edit, but we don't want to put it out yet. Where do we do? They unloaded a lot of those during the pandemic. So there you go. Let's see. We'll end on this today. Unless, by the way, you guys have something to bring up as well. By the way, make sure to listen to Andy Pollin on the Sports Capital in Washington, D.C., AM 630, and also FM. Are you still on AM 630?
AM 630. We're holding down the AM.
Holding down the AM dial.
AM band, yeah.
And he can be heard weekdays from what time? 10 to 1?
10 to, usually 10, always 10 to 11.
10
sometimes,
to 1, geez.
Sometimes 10 to 12. Well, I've done show. 10 to 1
okay.
also.
All right.
And by the way, on your one of your stations, on 106.7 The Fan, did you see Grant Paulson got a shot yesterday on TV?
I did.
I don't know how that came about, because was he promoting that?
I talked – well, Grant was going to join me on Sports Saturday, and then he was like, I can't. I've got to prepare to do a game as an analyst
right.
on television.
The Nats game?
Yeah. And he's you know, Grant, no matter what you think of him, and maybe not everybody loves him, but he respects the fact that he shouldn't have been doing that. He said, what am I, a ball player? He's like, why am I doing – analysis.
They had Dan Kulko the day before. I don't know
exactly.
So must have been a last minute fill in, right?
So something happened with an FP, and apparently the play by play guy was on vacation.
Yeah,
Carpenter. And I said to Grant, I go, vacation? Who the fuck goes on vacation as a play by play announcer in baseball?
Did he have like a wedding
on
to
television?
Family?
I don't know.
Or something?
And an FP was off, and then another guy had filled
Jagler
in.
Doesn't Jagler come in to fill in on TV?
He has in the past, but he didn't in this one.
Because I saw that. I met Grant for the first time ever just last week because he's back coming into studio.
Right,
again.
Right.
He did a great job. I'm going to tell you that.
Really?
Yeah, he did a really good job. He was well prepared, he had stuff on each guy. I was really impressed.
I said, as a joke, I said, Grant, why don't you whip up a fake playing card of you at low A ball as like a bullpen catcher?
Right
who
before
had
I was
six...
on Letterman, I was playing low A ball.
I said, you could do a very funny spoof card, and that could be your cover for why you're on television doing analysis.
Look,
you don't need an ex-player, per se, but it adds credibility.
Years ago, they didn't have that. I mean, it's a TV thing. Radio, of course, you don't with Jagler and Slows. They didn't play.
But TV likes ex-players.
Yes.
Even if you're a low-level pitcher like FP was.
Right. But also, what used to happen in the old days was, and this happened with the Mets. Now, Ralph Kiner was an ex-player, but Kiner used to do play-by-play. So you had Kiner, Bob Murphy, and Lindsey Nelson.
Okay.
And they would rotate between radio and TV. All three of them did both during
a
game.
A lot of teams do that now, too. I mean, it's rare that the athlete becomes a play-by-play guy. What, Jimmy Cephalo does their Dolphins play-by-play?
Does he?
Yeah, and a couple others do it. But
Jimmy Cephalo left his bride at the altar. Do you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think he's since married, but
wow.
but day of. Didn't post.
It's funny. I've been listening.
When it's not right, it's not right, Andy. Yeah, you know,
probably, day of.
That's a tough one, right?
Runaway groom. Yeah. Huh?
Runaway groom. Yeah. Got cold feet at the altar. I can't go through.
I was
with
listening
this.
To. I've never heard like John Sterling call a whole game. I've heard his highlights. Mm-hmm. I never heard Mike Shannon. Call
Yankees win.
Susan. No.
Yeah, he's 82.
Yeah,
man.
He's still doing it, and it's interesting. I heard Mike Shannon. I'm finally retiring after this season. I've been doing Cardinals. Baseball for 62 years. Mike Shannon is a slow pitch. He's got I can almost not understand him at times. But
right.
And he's really old. And I was like, how old is this guy? I Googled when I got to work. Like, he's 82. He's still doing the games. Like, you do this till you die. Why?
Yeah.
Like why Harry Callis, you died in the booth, right?
Yeah, basically.
Unless you have to, like here with Sonny and Sam, they kind of had to say, you're old. You got to go. I'm sorry. And you got to push him out the door.
By the way, listen to Solly's podcast. Make sure to not just listen, but subscribe and donate at Patreon. Not just the Steve Solomon podcast, but also Solly, Lynn, and Murray. Now with a little bit of Murray every 7 weeks or thereabouts. I'll be on that podcast. Tomorrow we're doing it.
Tomorrow, yes.
And then we better not use all our good material.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Is there any good material?
We have no good material.
Okay.
We'll use some.
And
we'll save it.
It'll air when? When do you drop your episodes?
That day. We'll tape you at 10:30. We'll post it right after.
Drop it while it's hot?
Drop it while it's hot. Yes.
Okay. So here's one of the all-time ha-ha sucker stories I've ever read. DJ gets radio station tattooed on arm.
Oh, no.
And is laid off a week later. I'm sorry, I'm not laughing, but I am fucking laughing. You're too dumb to not know radio is not worth burning into your skin.
He's got the hat there.
This fucking business.
Sucker. What a sucker.
The Mason Show.
I don't even use my work email because I'm like, it'll be a different work in 5 years anyway.
Not at 2.3 WIL St. Louis country music, everybody. I'm Mason in the morning, and I've got a tattoo. What's that?
Looks like he did.
Oh, I've been fired.
He did it in the right place because it's high up on his shoulder so he can wear a shirt.
It's
and cover still, it up.
It's not on his ass. You can still see it everywhere. And he's not naked. See, tattoos, none of us have them. He must have others, though. That's not his only tattoo. He's probably got 30 others somewhere.
There's got to be a business in the making where you remove tattoos.
Oh, there is. The laser removal. Not just for swastikas. You know, but it's a lot of people do it for their bad, stupid tattoos.
It's not
tattoos.
Just for MS-13 tattoos that you thought were a good idea at the time.
These guys I see drafted yesterday with tattoos all over their necks. It's one thing on the arms where you can cover them up, but at some point in your life, you're not going to want to have neck tattoos. I don't think
that far down the road.
I guess not.
I mean, anything that's visible with clothing on. I mean, neck and hand. People have, like, you know, the hand tattoos. Like, aren't these expensive, too?
Well, the removal process is apparently painful, expensive, and doesn't really get it all out.
I know.
Right away. It then has to fade and fade and fade and fade.
I just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I don't get tattoos.
Knowing the fact that you can have a tattoo that's a good couple-month tattoo that goes away, just get that and get new ones, you know? But it's a whole cult. It's all about feeling the pain in the needle, and you sort of get addicted to it, they say, and everything
else.
Body art.
It's art.
And the sleeves, these guys with sleeves. Yeah.
Okay.
Rob Dibble had them.
Here's the flip side question. If you could keep your job at a radio station for as long as you wanted, would you then get a tattoo to ensure that?
Only if that was part
Sports
of the...
Sports Talk 980. I mean,
part of the guarantee. If they said...
Solly, what about you?
No, because they change their own names half the time.
No, you would guarantee your job.
Oh, that would guarantee your job.
Guarantee your job for as long... Until you say, I'm done with it, I'm moving on.
I loved my job. They took it away multiple times.
So. Okay, so you would not get a tattoo.
I would have it on my tuchus.
Yeah, maybe my tuchus.
No, you don't get it there.
Where do you have to have it?
On your back with a huge eagle.
Oh, no.
That's the shoulder thing about back tattoos I don't get because...
Who's going to see him?
No one. You don't even see your own back unless you're in the mirror. Like, yeah, that looks
good.
Well,
LeBron does because, you know, people see him without his shirt on all the time.
He tattooed the king and the chosen one on himself, that guy.
All right. Anything else before we're done here today? I got one more thing, but I want to give you guys room to roam here. Did you see Didi Gregorius went on the COVID list for the Phillies?
Why?
Why this is a funny ha-ha thing?
Ha-ha.
Didi Gregorius was one of a handful of MLB players who wore a mask in the field the entire 2020 season and was wearing it still in 2021. And he was bragging about it. I want to be careful out there, you know. I want to do everything I can. Guess what? Still fucking landed on the list. I mean, it's amazing, you know, there are guys.
Well, didn't McShay have COVID? That's why he wasn't at the draft.
McShay had COVID?
Last year.
Yeah.
Not this year.
Yes.
Yeah, Todd McShay is back. He missed it last year.
Trey Turner has been wearing a mask in the field, and, you know, so far for him, I guess.
Lorenzo Cain for the Brewers wears a mask. He's now on the DL with a separate injury, not the COVID DL, but he wears a mask in the field.
How long?
As the only guy, I'm like, what?
3 years from now, will there be somebody wearing a mask playing Major League Baseball?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Because you remember Rip Hamilton when he was playing with Detroit, he was here.
The face shield.
And he broke his nose, and he started playing with the face shield, and he was playing great. So he wore it the rest of his career,
right,
even
like
though his nose
good
was
luck.
Fine.
Like Kareem with the goggles. Yeah. Never stop if
it works.
Well,
Kareem, that was purposeful because he used to get poked in the eye a
that
lot.
Makes sense. Yeah. In that. Did you guys watch the Derby at all?
Hold on a second. Okay. There'll be a horse pivot on this. But when it comes to fears, everybody has them, certain things. Not all of them are rational. I remember thinking about Didi Gregorius wearing a mask playing baseball, and the same thing for Lorenzo Cain. I'm like, okay, why are you so scared? And then I remember Eric Berry of the Chiefs, who is afraid of horses.
I don't do horses.
I mean, this is a guy.
Oh hell no! They go that horse.
He turns away. This was the Broncos' horse, was it the Chiefs' horse?
No, the Broncos. Horse. The Broncos.
I wait till they got to the horse pad. I don't mess with horses, bro.
Right. No, it's the Chiefs.
Oh, okay.
Chiefs have one as well. Beautiful. Modeled brown and white horse.
Yeah.
and he just, he didn't like
it.
He
might come over here and throw a tantrum.
Stay inside the box. Stay inside the box.
Hold up, coach. That horse out there. That horse. Oh, she need to go ahead with that horse guy now.
So I guess one man's horse is another man's virus. You wear a mask because you're afraid.
Well, animals can be deadly. It's not like it's Bevo or something.
Maybe he was attacked. Maybe he's bitten once.
Yeah. I know, but he plays a violent game that he's far more at risk doing that. Just like Lorenzo Cain and Didi Gregorius stand in a box and face 95-mile-an-hour fastballs that could hit you in the face like Bryce Harper.
Well, in the cartoons, it's the elephant that's up on the little thing away from the mouse.
Yeah.
The biggest one is.
How about Bryce Harper? Yeah, he got hit. And it
in the face.
In the face.
But it grazed him. It didn't hit him straight on.
It still looks like
Look
it
hurts. At Andy. It grazed him.
Well, look.
Didn't feel bad.
He wears that face bar, but it was on the other side. So the unprotected side got hit. Look, remember Tony Conigliaro? Took one right in the eyeball.
I don't get it. Like college hockey and peewee hockey, and women's hockey, they all wear the full thing around the cage, around your face. But in the pros, we don't care. We're tough.
Derby talk, go.
Did you see the Steve Kornacki guy? The odds.
I hate him.
I know you hate. I knew you hate that guy.
Fucking
so I was like,
him.
I got to bring this up with Dave, the guy who's the John King of NBC with the elections. He's like this. He was doing that for the Derby. He was so annoying. Their coverage is great. Merck Tirico hosts it now.
Yeah.
They got the other Randy Moss. They got Jerry Bailey, Lafitte Pinkeye. I love it. I watched
the hockey guy too, right? What's his name?
Eddie Olczyk.
Eddie Olczyk.
He's a big odds guy too.
Yeah. And why do they have to shove him in our face?
I don't know.
It
was getting ratings. People were talking
about
it.
He's
really.
He's John King, but
the
exciting.
Mother's name
there he is.
Was Snugs and Kisses and Besos. What is that? That is Spanish for kisses.
Oh.
Sometimes you combine them. My favorite, Midnight Bourbon.
Yes.
The mother's name was Catch the Moon. So that's the bourbon. They just said, hey, the owner likes bourbon.
That makes sense. Steve, I'm going with Medina Spirit. I just think going with a Bob Baffert.
Oh, so she got it.
Who is a safe bet?
Who was that down there?
Makes history, but
the woman.
The other favorites
looks like a younger Linda Cohn.
I don't know.
Oh, she's Savannah Guthrie, but the other gal.
That's the eight
very good looking.
Bob Baffert has won 6 Kentucky Derbies as a trainer, and you can get his horse at 15-1 odds. At
and
least
he won.
He did
won.
Yes.
He won. So he touted 7 horses, but he got one right. So at least there was.
I guess so. There's that. But he's so annoying, this guy. I'm like, how do people not see this? Am I the only one who finds him annoying? Okay.
All right. What's the rest of the day bring? I'm going to go play golf today with my man Hatch. Got my clubs
There's
right
the
here.
Clubs. Look at all those.
There we go. It'll be the first official round
What's
of
that big
the year.
Thing at the top?
Oh, this is my camera pole.
Oh,
that's
okay.
A whole different thing. Yeah, I could put one of these cameras right in the ground.
Mm.
There'll be live coverage. Andy, you've already done your bike ride, so you're good?
Yeah, I got to do some grocery shopping, finish the laundry, a few things like that.
Okay. And Solly?
Might do some laundry as well.
Big afternoon.
None of your business. What happened to that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll see you on your podcast tomorrow. Thanks, boys.
Thank you. That's why I'm easy. Like Sunday morning.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At MyBookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.